Okay, hello. I'm glad we finally did this because I've been waiting so long to talk about Megalopolis. I've given it a 6 out of 10, if you can believe that.
End of video.
End of video.
See you next time for Spaceball.
my favourite bit was where Adam Driver did this. That's...
Have either of you seen Parks and Rec?
Yes.
Okay, so in Parks and Rec, there's like a meme, damn it, Jerry, right?
Yeah.
Often said by Aubrey Plaza in Parks and Rec.
Yep.
And she says it in this film.
Oh, that, I didn't notice that.
In that way as well, not like it's just a coincidence. It's when they're erecting a statue and something happens, it falls over or something. Yeah. She looks off frame and goes, damn it, Jerry. That cannot have been in the script. Francis Ford Coppola cannot have known what that was. She must have slipped.
Maybe
they
were too busy molesting 13-year-olds on the set at the time.
Was that what Francis Ford Coppola was doing?
Have you not read the Wikipedia page?
Oh, God, no. No, I haven't read the Wikipedia page. Well, on Parks and on Megalopolis?
On Megalopolis.
Oh, crikey! Right, okay.
It's quite a long read, the bit that's irrelevant to that.
I mean, he's a Hollywood film director. It's probably in his rider, right?
Yeah. So
I mean, maybe we should leave that for later.
Yeah, so I think it's a side issue.
Yeah. So this is what Francis Ford Coppola wanted to make. Like, this is the movie he always wanted to make.
Really? This isn't three different movies that he wanted to make at the same time.
Well, this is just
there's going to be lots of people going, oh, it's pure genius, you just don't get it. No,
I don't think anyone said this is pure genius.
No, I don't think. It's not three films in one, it's zero films in one, is the problem. It's got a lot of plot lines, some of which last it for more than, like, a third of the film. I don't think there's a single plot line that makes it from the beginning of the film to the end of the film.
Oh, yeah, the Megalopolis.
Yeah. That's not a thing.
The unnecessary bit of the whole fucking film is the sci-fi bit. It's just...
Can either of you tell me what is the Megalon?
It's like, have you seen the film Flubber? It's like Flubber from the film Flubber.
It's Flubber for architect.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also it's magic. And it will make us, like, it seems to have some,
just like Flubber.
It makes buildings. It definitely does that. We can say it does that.
Explain something that it didn't explain in the film, and that's the problem right there.
That is the problem, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Before we get into the content, I want to talk about... So this is Francis Ford Coppola, who made The Godfather and Dracula and other films that actually look like films.
There's a couple of films that he made that are good as well.
Yeah. Some film nerds are like really into Godfather. I think Godfather is a very good film, but moreover, it's beautiful. It's gorgeous looking, right? Watch Godfather. Even if you don't care for the plot, it's every frame is beautiful, like a painting. Mm. This looks fucking cheap. It looks very lavish, but cheap. Like a perfume ad.
Yeah. Perfume ad is probably a good way of explaining it, actually. Yeah.
And very, very digital. Very, like, flat, lifeless digital. As opposed, again, The Godfather shot on film. I think one thing that's a feature of modern cinema is, like, people have forgotten how to... Because everything's digital now.
Mm.
And digital, you can fuck around with after the fact. You know, you can color grade it more easily. Like, color grading or color timing on film is like a laborious process, or trying to bring the contrast up by pushing the film. That's all a super laborious process. Whereas now, you can just dial something in and you can color correct the whole thing. You can have whatever contrast levels you want, which means like films are very dark. Cause they look at film like The Godfather and go, oh, that was very dark, so let's make my film dark. But they forget that, like, it was chiaroscuro. There was light areas. There was rich colors. You know, it looked beautiful. Whereas everything's just like gray and dark now because to make it look
instead of looking at the whole thing.
Mm.
Yeah, to have contrast back then, you had to light the scene because you got one pop at it and you had to get it right. Now you don't have to light it, you just film it grey, put tons of CGI in or whatever. You know, it's so films have lost that like sumptuous. It can be done with digital. It's just that I think people have forgotten how. But I watched a film, Caroline, mm-hmm. by a director I like, whose name I've forgotten, the other day, and that's shot on digital, and it looks gorgeous. That looks like a 70s film, like beautiful, rich colors. You and know, strong contrast. Yeah. Yeah, you've just got to put... I don't understand how this person can have made these films that look gorgeous and have made this flat look. It looks like an ad. It's shot like a TV ad. There's no dynamic. Yeah. Even like the camera movement, the blocking, the composition.
Yeah, when you say perfume, that sort of hit the nail on the head. Like.
Yeah, although I'm looking at some of the scenes now, and I'm okay... I'm going to be giving way too much credit to Coppola on this one. But a lot of the scenes looked like they were shot, they were put together as theatre, like as a theatre set. A lot of the scenes looked like a theatre set.
But not good ones. Again.
Well, this brings us to another point.
Nothing is of quality in it. Mm. This film has made me hate actors that I previously liked.
there's people in it that are doing their best, but my god, they're working with some shit. The two people that stand out for me in this film as acting in it are Aubrey Plaza mm-hmm. and Shia LaBeouf, and I think that's probably because of the two main baddies.
Well, they've just gone fuck it, we're going to chew the scenery. Whereas Adam Driver, who's a very good actor, I used to think,
he's
fucking horrible in it.
Stop like time.
Abe's level. It's horrible. Like I he clearly doesn't know what to do with the material because I've got a little bit of art training, so you two might have not have picked up on this. It was quite subtle, but there's a Roman metaphor going on.
That's what it was.
Yeah, a little bit. And also like some very. It's very like I want it to sound like Shakespeare. Like not just sound like the cadence. The cadence and kind of plotting.
Well, they literally did the soliloquy from Hamlet really badly.
Yeah.
really badly. And
there's a lot of, especially Adam Driver's dialogue is very like Shakespearean and cadence, but without the, I mean, the thing, whether you like Shakespeare or not, the thing he was good at, he understood people. Like he could write a character because he understood people and you understand human interactions. And there's none of that in this. It's just, it's a lot of the forms of thing without any content.
Yeah, well,
this is why I think that somebody's going to start going, oh, it's genius, but especially Americans love anything that looks classical or Shakespearean, you know, even if it isn't actually. They double that up.
I think the
only... I mean, it's basically what it is a story from classical Rome. I can't remember, I'm not very good at that. There's Roman history isn't like a strong point or anything, but there's a specific plot. Which is the sort of thread that they're hanging that part around.
But it's very superficial. Like he's not doing any. It's all very superficial. It's all of the ideas that are in there.
Yeah.
He's not doing anything.
Lots of things just seem to happen.
Gesturing towards it.
But also,
like the Shakespeare stuff. He's just gesturing towards Shakespeare, going like, you know Shakespeare?
Yeah.
You know, like ancient Rome? He's not saying anything with that. He's just... It is. I said this to Chris, but maybe both of you. But it's like somebody being adamant, like I must be given my voice. I need to. I've got this message that I need to put out to the world, and it's like, here's a microphone. Here's an hour to talk.
He's behaving himself like, all morning, and now he's got to move again. So I'll be right back.
It's 2 hours of a bar.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing that gets me is that Adam Driver's character. He's Caesar, right? Yeah. He doesn't change, right? Like, he's the same guy at the end of the film at the beginning. Mm-hmm. So that all of the stuff that happens to him doesn't matter. Like, it's very obvious that that Caesar is self-insert.
I mean, he's for Coppola. He's the genius that nobody will listen to. Or not nobody will listen to, but who is prevented by... You know, the structures of society from doing like his amazing, so he doesn't need to change.
No, exactly. Which I don't even know if I've ever seen a film where the main character doesn't change,
doesn't learn a single thing.
Yeah, like this is the most.
There's things where that is the point. Like you have a character who just refuses to learn, but that is the point.
Oh, is that like have you seen the film Alfie with Michael Caine, the original Alfie?
Not for a very long time, but yeah.
And he's a scumbag at the beginning, and is he still a scumbag at the end, right?
Yeah, he's got a journey though. I think he goes.
It's got a journey, but he's just discovering that he's a scumbag. But he's not Adam Driver is just like he's the genius that's prevented from being a genius by society at the beginning, and he kind of gets, I suppose, vindicated at the end. But the character stays the same.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah, but that's the whole film. It's like what the Megalon, unclear what it is, unclear what it's for or what it does or how.
It's it's a MacGuffin.
Did he actually tell you where it came from?
He made it with his genius, didn't he?
He invented it when his wife died. Something, blah, blah. Unclear. And then, like, the central romance, which at times you think is the main point of the film, but then at other times it's like, no, that's not important at all. And that's
That was one of the bits that I meant just sort of happens. It starts off where they're sort of early on, like, sort of frenemies a wee bit, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly they're a couple. It's like, whoa,
well, they're setting up like a Romeo and Juliet thing. Like their families have an enmity.
Yeah, of course.
She just immediately falls in love with him, and then they are in love for the rest of the film. That doesn't develop in any way or grow or change. They don't learn anything about each other.
Go away.
And I agree, Aubrey Plaza and Shia LaBeouf, they're treating it as pantomime, and that makes their performances far more fun.
Yeah. I did enjoy moments of what they were doing.
And
definitely.
What's the face's dad?
Giancarlo Esposito.
Yeah. What's his character?
No.
Oh, you mean Angelina Jolie's dad, John Voight?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he was a wee bit in it.
I thought he was enjoyable. I think he was playing a character.
Yeah. Who was Dustin Hoffman
was a bit shit.
Dustin
Hoffman was a bit shit.
He was awful. Yeah. He was awful. Adam Driver was awful. Who was the love interest? I can't actually remember who was the love interest.
Oh, Missandei from Game of Thrones. Natalie.
I don't think she's an amazing actor to begin with. She wasn't bad though. She was doing her best with it.
She's doing her best.
She's better than he was.
Also, his wife dying. Did that actually have any meaning in the film?
Well, you don't.
That's something that doesn't really get explored.
It was a bit quite early in the film. It was a bit quite early in the film when Melisandre, I think, goes like, she's talking about his, because he supposedly murdered her, is the common perception.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm going to crack open the old files.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets the old files. It's just newspaper clippings. Like, as if that's what lawyers work with. She opens this like legal brief and it's just newspaper clippings.
Natalie Emmanuel, before we forget.
Who was the guy that
costumes were good and some of the hairstyles were good, but for the Roman good. Part didn't not fit anything good, else. No, but they fitted the Roman bits.
Yeah, but it felt very cheap.
It did, yeah. It was
weirdly cheap.
It was like Halloween Park type level.
Yeah, and the CGI felt cheap. Like I don't mind but special effects as long as they like people go to theatre. And, you know, waving cloth represents the sea. It's fine. I can use my imagination. But when it just looks not just bad, but like,
oh my god, it lost a lot of money.
I think Copeland knew that going into the film. Like, this is like, I'm going to make this the way I want to.
But it's very Boomer Manifesto.
Yes.
Like, it's like, here's my political take on the world.
Oh, god.
Young people are scary and technology might be good.
Yeah, I forgot there was another subplot that I totally... Yeah, the Soviet satellite.
Oh, yeah.
That doesn't resolve.
The fall of Carthage. It's called Carthage, so it's the fall of Carthage. No, they're not doing this.
That doesn't resolve. It's all through the film, because they forget. It's like plot lines go forgotten for a while and then come back for a moment. So all through the film, there's this thing that the Soviet satellite is going to crash somewhere.
Sorry, I've got to go again with him.
Yeah. It crashes. But it doesn't change.
Does it? I thought it doesn't.
Yeah. No. That's for some reason that instigates more Megalopolis.
Oh right. Yeah. Okay. I'd sort of.
I mean, it's not an important point. It's set up because the scene opens with the satellite. So you think, oh, this is going to be a big, like, this is going to be the linchpin.
I just thought it was just going to crash on the city in the end, and it was, you know, that was everything gets destroyed, or something like that, you know, just something big. But
To be honest, all right, so I'm going to disagree with you and Hamish a little bit on this. I didn't. You're right when you say it looks like a perfume ad, but I found the visuals of it relatively like entertaining. Like, yeah, no, okay, fine.
Have you seen a film before?
Well, yeah, once or twice. Like, I don't know. Like,
Did you like the bit where Lady Justice like fell over and was crying?
Oh, that was awful. That was just Oh God, no. All right.
I like that kind of thing, like that kind of like very.
I don't know. Like, okay, right. I'll just
that, but it was just all so heavy-handed and.
Bad. I'll put in. Where is it? I've done a screenshot. Right. Just think. You're going to disagree, and it's fine. Right. That's what we. But there we go. Like that's an example. Yeah, I enjoyed that.
That looks like what was that poster shop back in the 90s?
Forbidden Planet.
No, there was a shop that just sold posters, and it was all like very clip arty, stock art, like, and yeah, like that. It's just very default. It's very, yeah.
I didn't, you know, there were little bits like that that, like, okay, so there were, I don't know, like, there was random shit that was obviously random shit that I don't know, like, it kept, like, so. There are random bits of this scene at the beginning where they're sort of talking, they're sort of setting the premise of who's who and all that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And like a whole bunch of it is just like vignetted, like there.
Yeah, but not well. Is
no, 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 no. But like,
I'm not saying you did nothing at all, but everything you did is bad. It's badly.
No, like, no, I'm not saying it's. Interesting. I don't know.
There's a way to do that and for it to be interesting, but that isn't it. And same with like the theatrical, the like vignettes and there's a like tableaus. Like they don't look good. The tableaus don't look like if you're gonna do a tableau, it's gonna look beautiful. And they don't.
Oh, you know which one stuck out as a really bad one for me on the subway train where the mayor and his daughter and his wife are sitting on a train and they're sort of filmed off to one side of the frame as if something's going to happen and the lights go off and on and like something's going to happen and it's just badly done. It's just like not even it's like what's the point of it being done like that? Why not have the family and have a you know a three-way tension or what? You know, there's so many better ways to film that. And I mean, I'm not a bloody film director, but it just
is that the scene you're on about?
Hang on, because I can't see that properly. Hang on, I need to make us smaller.
That yellow filter that's over half the film in lieu of doing anything interesting with lighting.
No, that's kind of a wider shot. Most of it was shot closer than that.
Yeah.
So that you could see that leftmost bench, you could see it as you can, but it was on the right-hand side, it was cut right into the daughter and the daughter and the dad, or flipped around and showing you the daughter and the mum.
I think if he was trying to do like a sort of a modern allegory type thing, like go way more allegorical. Have Giancarlo Esposito as like avaricious capital, and like him, Adam Driver as like you know science and progress and reason. Like have them very strongly.
Okay, all right, I found a good one.
And then do something.
Okay, this one. This one. I didn't clock this one when it happened.
Oh Jesus!
What the fuck's going?
What is it?
His wife.
I think it's his wife.
I don't remember that. Is that? And I got to say, like the last third of the film, I was pretty zoned out.
I mean, I couldn't keep. If I had paid to see this at the cinema, I think I would have walked out halfway through.
I saw it at the cinema,
knowing how bad it was going to be because of Drew's reaction. Well, I know, I didn't know it was going to be. I thought maybe I would. I thought maybe that was just, you know, a difference of opinion. No. Anyway,
oh, no,
I got
no,
to it's... the point where it was, I mean, the film's about 2 hours and 10 or 2 hours 15, something like that. So I got to just over an hour and I kept going for I pushed through a little bit further.
Yeah.
Just to try so that I knew I didn't have as much left.
I've got a lot of stamina for films. I can watch long films. I sometimes watch two or three films in a row, but I couldn't make it. It's a two-hour film. We've joked like it, but I think it,
oh, it
genuinely
feels like way more. Like,
2 hours,
like way more. 5 hours.
You get,
like,
yeah, you get the hour and 12 minutes or whatever that I got through on the first sitting felt like
1 hour,
well over. It felt like watching, you know, the extended cut of one of Lord of the Rings films.
Yeah, yeah, 2.5 hours.
Like 3 hours or something, you know.
It's like
half went faster, I'd say, but not much.
Yeah, maybe stuff maybe happens a bit more.
There are some things happening in the second half.
I've watched films that feel long before, but like this is the most extreme version, like iteration, whatever, of that I've ever. Like, it really feels like 5 hours.
Yeah, it feels like a real slog. Yeah.
Do you know what? I sort of enjoyed that a little bit. Like, that, if it had been more, that, there's a film called, I think it's literally just called Wittgenstein, which is about Wittgenstein. And it's shot, it's by, I think it's Derek Jarman,
mm-hmm.
and it's shot, it's like a shot play.
Yeah.
Everything's like the background's black, and then there's just stage scenery and characters acting, with a similar kind of feel, what I think he was going for, but that's very, very good. Very like, here's a tableau, it comes to life, people do stuff, and then lights go down and go, I might be over-egging, how much is that? And then on to the next one, and it works really well. Yeah, I think that's. I would urge people to watch Wittgenstein. Very good film. But this is like the embarrassing version of that. Like, I'm not. I enjoy watching. My favorite kind of comedy is like social awkwardness or just watching things that are, you know, cringe, as the kids would say. I love watching a bit of cringe, and this is cringe, but it's just. It's too embarrassing. I actually felt like I've got a high tolerance for embarrassment. But I felt embarrassed on behalf of, like, just everybody in the world, honestly.
I love the bit where Audrey Plaza goes, 1, 2, 3...
Aubrey with a B.
Aubrey, sorry. Goes, 1, 2, 3, yippee-yee, as if that's supposed to be some kind of rhyme, like...
Yeah. But the damn it Jerry was so, like, so she must have shoehorned that in there. Just he must have not seen the show and not know that was a meme. Like, there's no way, because it's a very serious, very self-serious film. There's no way he's putting a jokey reference to Parks and Rec in there.
I don't know
what to fucking make of it. Yeah, I think Hamish is right. I think the latter half is better. The bit where oh, what's his name? You said his name a moment ago. As one of the two good actors, the man.
Oh, Shia LaBeouf.
He's kind of like MAGA. I think he sort of represents MAGA, right?
Mm-hmm.
And populism in general, I think.
Yeah.
And they start
Adam Driver was meant to be Musk, sort of, but then not, you know.
I think he's Musk combined with Obama, combined with E.T., and Jesus. But yeah, when the MAGA stuff starts out and they take to the streets and there's some actual, like, the very like 1% fringe of like having some sort of like class stuff going on there, because it's very much made by somebody who doesn't understand class.
Yeah,
like there's the people who do things in the world and then there's the poor people. And the poor people, it's just like an endemic cultural problem that needs fixing through some technocratic means. That's how poor people are framed in this film. But then the MAGA things, that, you know, people start rioting a little bit in the streets, that potentially could have been something interesting, isn't, but could have been something interesting. But obviously he doesn't actually understand what that is. He doesn't understand class. He doesn't understand poverty. It's very much like rich, isolated boomer who's lived in Hollywood for the last 50 years.
Owns a vineyard.
Doesn't know what the real world is. Owns a vineyard.
But ironically enough, pastes it onto America quite accurately in some ways. It doesn't quite get it. It's like he sort of got it, but not got it.
It's liberal. Mm. Yeah, it's a great manifesto for the current like liberal, because they don't have any. It's like Kamala's It's Kamala's, what do you call it, when you run for election? What do you call the thing that you... Your policy proposals.
Manifesto.
Manifesto. Yeah. Because there was no policy in her manifesto, and there's no ideas in this. It's the same. It's empty.
Mm. Yeah.
It doesn't understand the problems, and it doesn't know what the solutions are.
Yeah.
It just says, here's a bunch of my opinions.
I've not thought about them very hard, and I've certainly not read into them. It's just how they look to me.
Yeah, sort of. Like
from my very specific point of view.
Yeah. In this universe, does the magic exist?
It seems, right?
Well, it seems to by going by the ending.
Well, the baby just stops time and just...
And I mean, what happened today? Here's a question. Maybe one of you know the answer to this. Mm-hmm. Right, he gets shot. Spoiler for anybody that's going to watch this piece of shit. Okay. Spoiler, and he gets shot. I mean, that was like... Did everybody else see that a mile away, what was going to happen with that kid?
What do you mean?
The kid that shoots him, did everybody else just know?
That actually made me jump. That was literally the only part in the film that got an actual emotional reaction from me.
I knew something was going to happen to him because Shia LaBeouf said, "Who will rid me of this meddlesome cousin?" Of course, Richard III or whatever.
Yeah, hammer it home. Well, I kind of got it. Anyway, maybe I've seen something else where it's similar things happen. Anyway, point is, but he gets shot and his face is all repaired by the magic.
By Flubber, yeah.
But then later on, he looks normal again. So what's happening? Is he still part that or part not that?
I think the Megalon sort of... It's different things.
We're trying to explain something that's not explained in the film. Well, yeah. That's the problem.
Yeah.
I think the impression is that the Megalon, you don't design a building and make it out of Megalon. You sort of set the Megalon a task and it adapts to adapts to the needs of the people. So I think it's adapting to what's required of it. It's magic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it just like technology in the broad sense of the word?
I think so.
Oh, it's magic. It is magic. Yeah, it really is.
It's liberalism. It's technocracy. We don't know what it is, but there must be a technological solution to all of this.
Rather than stop using oil, let's invent technology like carbon capture and bullshit like that don't actually work.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's that, we can fix it by technology if we keep pushing more and more of it.
To avoid restructuring society.
essentially, yeah.
But that's kind of almost the conversation that he's having with Giancarlo Esposito the whole film. It's like, Esposito wants to be like, I like things the way they are, and then Driver's like...
To be fair to the film, I don't think he's I like things the way they are. It's just, this is the only way there is.
Okay, all right, fine, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, tacit acceptance of capitalism as the baseline. Yeah. I mean, it's funny, but I don't want to get too much into this because there's a big rabbit hole to be had here, but I've been following a bit of a story about something. I'm not going to go into it because that'll just get the rabbit hole open, but I've been following a story about something else in, like, YouTube videos and stuff. And I don't want to go into what it is because that's the rabbit hole.
AI!
No, but the surface of it is that several different people have sort of seemed like they're talking sense about it, so I followed just their videos, you know. I'm not followed, like, literally, I don't engage with it, but I watch them. And then after a little while, you start to see strange things happening, that people who are, because they're on YouTube, and they're YouTubers, right, they seemed, how do you explain this without getting into details? Right, one of these YouTubers was doing a live stream, because of course YouTube does live streams now, and it got pulled partway through. Mm-hmm. And, the instant conspiracy theory was it was to do with the material that was being broadcast. And it probably was, sort of, but anyway, it might have just been a bot picking something up as well. But then the... I'm trying to explain this without going into it, while bringing it back to this. It's the point that people, even people that are supposedly a bit non-political and liberal and what have you, still think that building a house of cards on something like being a YouTuber and being surprised when something goes wrong, you know, that kind of thing. Did that make any sense? So basically this YouTuber was surprised that, but this is my, you know, this is my YouTube channel. I've done that. I've built all this up. It's like, of course they can just click their fingers and it changes, you know. Also, if you try to search for certain things on YouTube, I've noticed Google, you know, the search bar at the top of YouTube makes it really difficult to find certain things that are against anything that would obviously be on there.
I don't know if that's like, I think YouTube has been quite good at being politically neutral. They want the views regardless of what you want to watch. Because of the stuff I watch, I get equally recommended like hard left stuff and hard right stuff. Like it's all on.
Recommended because I watch the occasional comedy. I get recommended Ricky Gervais on an inordinate amount of, and it's like fuck.
I will say all of Google's search things have just got infinitely worse over the last couple of years.
No, I'll tell you what,
I can't find anything now.
I can't find, like, because there's a lot of times I want to go back and watch stuff that I go from like 15 years ago or something. Go, oh, I remember that. Can't fucking find it.
There's videos that I'll watch every year or two. I'll be like, oh, I feel like watching that again. And for the last, 10, 15 years, I've had like a search term that I know will bring it up as the top result.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't anymore. It's nowhere anymore. Yeah, it's just the search is just broken.
Google's the same. If I'm looking for old stuff,
it's the same company, isn't it?
The thing that grinds my gears about Google at the moment is that I'm looking for something, and all of the search results, all of them, will be like Reddit or YouTube or TikTok something like that. When I want to look for a website,
No, 100%, yeah.
I don't, like, people don't use Google anymore. This is why people are using fucking ChatGPT and shit, is because Google is just so shit.
Well, I mean, the reason Google's so shit now is they've plugged LLMs into it. I mean,
it was shit before then.
It's always been algorithmic. It's always been a bit machine learning.
I haven't used Google as a search for years, but I know ago that if you go there and search, the first two pages are all sponsored in some way or connected to
Google's company in some way. They've plugged the LLMs into it, but if you go and use just the chatbot, it will give you better results.
Mm. Well, no, I've never used any of those, and
I've experimented, but I don't use it. But it will give you better results. The cost of it is not like, maybe we should go back to what we had before, which worked, but it is better as a search engine.
DuckDuckGo is sort of getting the knock on effect of being based on those things, but I can usually get something out of that.
Yeah, it's always been. I don't see the point of DuckDuckGo. It's just if you want to use Bing, just use Bing. It's a very individualized way of looking at it. So like, it's Bing, but my privacy is protected.
It's Bing, but it's like it's a little bit like. It's better because, like you say, because of how we use search engines. Because we will look for specific keywords or something like that. And because Bing is a bit, not Bing, DuckDuckGo is a bit more of a blank slate. And it's a little bit more minimalist as well.
Well, there's three different versions of it.
Yes, at least.
There's the main one.
I know this is kind of a thing, but I've not noticed any less bubbling on DuckDuckGo versus Bing. If I search .go and Bing, I get the exact same results.
Maybe.
Yeah, but I wouldn't think about searching Bing. For years and years, I wouldn't even have thought about going to Google.
Out of desperation, when I literally can't find something on Google, I'll sometimes try Bing or .go.
What's your search engine of choice, Hamish?
I don't really have one of choice anymore. That's the problem. I don't know if you guys know about the big hoo-ha with Mulvad.
Oh yeah, is it getting blocked or something?
No.
One of them donates to right-wing causes.
Fascist. This isn't right-wing. This is fascist. This go on.
That is right wing.
Oh, I know you get semantic about this. Yeah, that's all right. Okay. Once the jackboots are on your face, then you can tell me whether they're fascists or just about right wing. But anyway, the point is, extreme right wingers. He's been giving money to them, and people are going.
If I was using of Mulvad, that would irritate me. But it's not company money going. I don't care.
Because you're paying him.
Yes, but
at the end of the day, it's not you giving money.
You try and avoid every company where some employee is donating to a right wing.
No, not some employee. That's a false equivalent.
The company that's going to them that's getting donated. What's the difference?
Well, in that case, we can't spend money anywhere because everybody's surrounded by. Exactly. But that's not the point. The ones you can see, at least you can do something about it. I think that's different from just going, oof, doesn't matter.
But you can find out about.
Yeah, anyone. But you won't find out that Fred Bloggs, who works at Tesco and Milton Keynes,
Tesco's got presumably hundreds of thousands of employees, so it's pretty much guaranteed. So you'd have to avoid.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's not. No, you're the king of semantics and little slidey little arguments.
What practical outcome is there to you not using it because of that?
You'll get less money. Lots of people are giving less money.
Does that make a difference to anything?
Well, in that case, there's no point. Let's follow your logic then and say there's no point in ever protesting or arguing anything then.
There's no point pretending that consumer choices are a political action. No, ever.
Did I say political? I suppose I did imply that. Yeah.
Where's the next?
I'm not allowed to make a choice because it doesn't make any difference from your point of view to tip the scale.
I wasn't telling you what to do. I was saying what I would. I've sort of given up.
Oh, they're
all fucking evil. I'm not saying that as a what's the term? I forget the term. But there's no. If you want to do it to make yourself, there's certain media things that I'll avoid because of that. Like, even if I wanted to play like a Harry Potter game, I wouldn't, just because I would feel bad knowing that money's going to her. She's a monster. That's going to that. But there's other instances where I'm just like, but one shouldn't pretend that it makes any practical fucking difference because it doesn't. So in the instances where it's like, I can't be asked to do the work of finding an alternative, you're not making anything better or any worse, really, practically, apart from how you feel about the world.
Well, you just said you wouldn't
play the Harry Potter game because it makes you feel.
I'm saying.
Isn't that valid for my thing?
I've no point said that you shouldn't do it or that it's invalid for you. I said I would do in that case.
Right. Okay.
Where would you go anyway, from Molvad?
There's also
the argument that and this guy, because I read into it a little bit, and the other CEO who's not a fascist. Said that because I think people were saying you should kick him out and then make Molvad block right wing things, and I wouldn't want that.
I wouldn't want that either.
Very healthy for some things to be like hardcore free speech. I know that some on the liberal left don't like that, but I think there's certain spaces that should be. As soon as you erode free speech, it does become a problem for everybody.
If VPN start blocking stuff, then VPN's
We've gone down another rabbit hole.
My point is that having a right winger on the board does at least protect that.
Whatever. The point of all this was just to say that I've changed my browser because of that as well, because I was using their browser.
More my browser, yeah.
Yeah.
To Firefox?
To be honest, I was having trouble with the Molvad browser because it was too... It was good. You never got any problems. You could, like, if you went to, there was a recent thing that came up with like 23 points of internet privacy, and out of that, it only got two right for me, and one of them was my language, and I think the other one was my location, and that was based on my VPN's location. So you know, it didn't really get anything right about me. So I've gone back to LibreWolf for the moment, which is still a bit tighter than normal Firefox, I clicked on I clicked Firefox, and it's fucking hell. They've got like this, they've forced all this new launch site thing right back into it, no matter what you set your homepage as and stuff. Anyway, the short answer to your question, Chris, that we asked a little while ago, was I think I'm using DuckDuckGo Lite as my default search at the moment. Although I do something, I've got my set. I think my search CRX, my search thing works quite well as well at the moment.
VPN, because Molvad was kind of like the last actually good VPN. So what are you going to go with for VPN?
I don't know. I'm looking.
I think part of my point is like there's going to be some compromise, like. Because it was the only one left, really, with an actual good privacy policy. Well, so you're compromising.
Okay. Now that I know you're going to argue with this immediately, but I'm going to say it anyway because fuck it. My point about it was, yes, they've had like police raids and things before, and they've not had any data stored. Mm. Yeah, this mm-hmm. has been public. My point now is, if one of the people in charge of it is shown to be a fascist, how do we know that they're not going to start storing it in future? That's my reason. Not so much the money, because not so much trying to take money.
Because he's a fascist?
That he might side with people who want to do fascism.
And fascism aligns with surveillance?
Yes.
Particularly?
Generally, yeah.
Generally, yeah.
I mean, we've got a shit ton of surveillance.
Yes, and we've got this is you getting back to semantics about what fascism is, isn't it?
It's definitions. I mean, we've got a lot of liberals have done all the surveillance in the West. Liberal hippies in Silicon Valley who founded these companies in the first place have literally built the surveillance state. That wasn't a fascist. You can sort of say after the fact they have built a fascist thing, but it was liberals who built that fascist thing. There's political ideologies that lean away from surveillance for sure, but I mean, the Soviet state was very heavily surveilling, and that was certainly
a right wing state. It was an oppressive fascist state just because they called themselves communist.
It wasn't right wing; it was communist.
Yeah, but it wasn't really communist, was it? It was dictatorship.
You can't have a communist state. It was socialist. It was a left wing thing, but it was authoritarian. I think this is why you think everything's fascist. Not everything that's authoritarian is fascist.
Okay, well, you keep telling me the right words to use, and then I'll know, and then I'll not upset you.
Look, I mean, we had increases in surveillance under the Conservatives. Yeah, you could argue that Labour definitely had worse machinations when it comes to this.
That's just gone up regardless of who was in power.
Yeah,
that's it's a technocratic liberal thing. I mean, I'm not saying it's a uniquely. That's kind of my point. It's not. I don't think surveillance uniquely aligns with any particular political ideology. It's on the authoritarian scale, not the political scale,
the economic scale. Yeah,
or any other.
Are you saying I'm being a bit too single track?
If there was a Stalinist on the board, then I think there would be the same. I think you can be very right wing and very much anti surveillance, pro free speech. I mean, we see this a lot. The right wing has been better at.
Well, they're anti surveillance of themselves. Yeah.
No, I think a right winger, particularly like a libertarian, will be very much anti surveillance.
But they also have a habit of jumping into bed with Trump people.
Everything's contingent. But
yeah, you're talking about the true ideology of it.
I mean, like there's left wing ideologies that would be very surveillance positive. Liberal ideologies, right wing ideologies. It's about authoritarianism rather than.
We need some new words, do we? New words and phrases. Well,
no, social libertarianism, or libertarian on the social axis.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair, yeah. But again, authoritarianism. It's authoritarians who want surveillance. I mean, it depends who's doing the surveilling. But broadly, it's authoritarians that want surveillance, regardless of political stripe.
Mm. That is, yeah. I mean, Labour definitely have ramped it up more than the Conservatives, to be honest, when it comes to surveillance.
Well, obviously,
I don't know whether that was ideological
more than anything,
aligned with. There was a point when surveillance technology became more.
No, it seems. It seems like there is some sort of ideological trends within Labour specifically, or the Labour brass specifically.
I don't think it's ideological as much as it is they've been bought by Israel. It's corruption rather than ideology.
I think this happens outside of Israel. I think the liberal
technocratic mindset leads itself towards surveillance. We are living under sort of authoritarian centrism.
It seems a bit like that, but I mean, I remember Charles Clark.
This thing gets me as well. This centrism thing. I don't see much of a centre. I mean,
it's not where the political centre of the public is, but in terms of the artificial left-wing dichotomy in liberal democracy, where it's the capitalist party that pretends to want to do social good and the one that doesn't.
Should we talk about...
all they've been doing for a while. Can we talk about the film? Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. We're missing...
So, key points.
Well, yeah. I mean, what did you make of the... I don't know how to approach this one, but like when they auctioned the Virgin.
Do
you remember that bit?
Yeah.
That really what they were? I don't know what they were.
Well, she was invested. They were literally. Yeah, I didn't. I was like, did they auction it? But in the because she she was a Vestal Virgin.
Yeah.
The funds went together though, didn't they? So it wasn't. It wasn't an auction. It was a pledging.
Yeah, something like that.
They all gave more because the whole total kept going up. It wasn't like just the last bid.
I think there is a kind of auction where you bid and everybody pays their bid, but the one who bid the most gets the thing. But yeah, so she's a Vestal Virgin. That's a function metaphorically.
Yeah, her name's even Vesta.
Literally,
because of the creative genius that is Francis Ford Coppola, he came up with that name. And
the imagination at work. And literally in the thing, she's like a pop starlet with like a squeaky clean public image, and oh my god, behind the scenes it's all lies, blah 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And then she gets auctioned. That bit was kind of interesting. It was interesting to watch, but I don't know what the fuck.
I don't know what the fuck it was like.
I mean, it seems like it's about things like Taylor Swift, and it's saying their public image.
I thought it was more about Miley Cyrus, really.
Oh, but yeah, anybody
the bad girl image came out after the scandal, sort of thing.
But it's like it's saying these pop stars, their public image might not actually be real, which is like.
I didn't get that. Although that is not.
I mean, it was meant to be fake anyway. The sex was faked anyway.
Yeah, but she was lying about her age or.
Yeah, she was meant to be a teenager and she was 23.
It's a mixed message. Which message are we supposed to take? Because it's the same kind of opposite thing.
Yeah, is it like are we over fetishizing youth, or not, or what? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it almost possibly was like leaning in that direction.
That is the whole film. Is it just? It doesn't seem sure what it's trying to say. It's just saying.
Mm.
It's like man down the pub conversation.
Yes,
but like everybody's point is in there.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
It's all just incoherent.
It's like walking through the pub.
Well, if that was a framing device, it'd be a fucking genius film.
Yeah,
like if it was explicitly that. But it is just just boomer. Out of touch boomer makes films about the state of the world. Very heavily symbolist.
What is this? Is this in this scene? Is this actually real, or is this like a metaphorical place?
I read that as real, but like in holodeck real, different that you could both see it, but not necessarily because there's things in the film that definitely aren't real, like the weeping. Lady Justice.
Yeah.
Which she's like, you know, that's clearly allegorical and not actually there in the world. Whereas I think this is real-ish.
Okay, yeah. Also, here's an... I'm going to use the word interesting, but I think I mean it. I'm going to show you a screenshot of the scene, because you might not know the context behind this scene. But I saw it in the cinema. Okay, so do you remember this scene where it doesn't seem to fit in particularly logically? Where he is—he's talking to the camera.
He's answering like, questions on a screen.
Yeah,
is that
yeah,
the bit?
Yeah. In the cinematic, in the cinema, the question he says something like, "What if we look into the future and we realize it's scary," or something like that. That's supposed to be. That's supposed to be like a member of the cinema staff asking that question. So a member of the cinema staff is supposed to go into the cinema at this point in the movie and just yell out that question. Yeah,
like he requested that. Like that was a thing that was supposed to happen.
In every cinema screening, someone's got to go in. In the
did you do it in yours?
No. No. They just it just there was just like a weird awkward silence, and then he started answering the question.
That's yeah.
I don't know if they were too busy cleaning up popcorn in scene two or whatever, but yeah, that was just apparently some of the cinemas in LA ended up doing it. But I can't imagine like come on, as if they haven't got enough to do on their minimum wage job. They've got to like then time themselves going into a cinema, yelling it out. They've got no public speaking training or anything like that. Like, what if they've got a really
Also, how would you react in the cinema if they, because you wouldn't know what was going on.
No.
I don't think I'd connect. I wouldn't connect it. I'd just be, that was weird. Anyway, the film.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I sort of like it as an idea, like turning it into a bit of performance art, but it's, again, it's all very, like, it's all undeveloped. Like, it's the bare idea with no, it hasn't been worked up. It hasn't been developed into anything. And like a lot of the girder thing that we were just talking about, like that's clearly sort of there's the very hang on, I've got it here, like the very famous photo.
Yeah, the thing where during the Depression there was buildings empty.
Oh yeah,
and whoever was whatever building they were building at that point, they arranged that photograph to try and promote their building because the Empire State Building was sitting empty after because it was the Depression, you know.
Were they really just sitting up on?
Yeah, I think it's real. I think it's real.
The first one's definitely real, yeah.
Was it a Charlie Chaplin film where, like, he's sleepwalking across the beams and, like, he keeps stepping out onto
could
other beams?
Could be Buster Keaton in that one.
I mean, it could be Harold Floyd. Or Harold Lloyd,
Harold Lloyd was the
Yeah, clock. No. Yeah, I'm thinking of the Futurama version. Yes, the one on Futurama is Floyd, yeah.
But yeah, no, there's a lot of sort of references to artworks, and like Hamish said, like, you know, Roman stories from Roman history, and like, but it's just an empty reference.
Yeah,
yeah. It's there's no blending together.
Like a modern Star Wars film. Like, do you remember AT-ATs? You know,
yeah. Oh, I remember them.
Yeah.
Oh, also.
Star Wars people in this film. At least two I know that I can think of.
Hang on, who's the Adam Driver? Who's the other one?
Giancarlo Esposito.
Oh, what's? Oh, yeah. No,
he's
in Mandalorian.
Mandalorian.
He's good.
That guy in the
he's
first good. Couple of series. Yeah. He is good in it. Yeah.
So mega.
I think the film also has a very strong, and this is arguably fascist leaning. A very strong.
I'm not getting involved with that now.
Very strong sense of an appeal to like a golden age.
Yes,
like the you know, it's a little bit like 1930s New York. You know, the Chrysler Building. I don't think it's literally the Chrysler Building, but oh, I want to talk about that as well. Yeah, so, but yeah, and like some jazz age stuff.
Yeah,
there is a bit. Yeah,
so, yeah.
There's a bit even earlier than that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all mixed up. And Rome, of course. So it's an appeal to, like, you know, when art was art, and you know, people cared about their jobs. Like, this reactionary appeal to a goal. But I also want to say, was it just me reading this wrong, or throughout the film, does it switch whether New Rome is the country or the city?
Oh, no, I always thought it was New York that had been renamed.
Yeah, yeah.
I swear there's a couple of times in the film where they say the country of New Rome. Because I thought it was a city. At certain times it seems to be the city, and at other times it seems to be the country. But then at other times I think they do say America as well.
Yeah, oh yeah, they sing the national anthem with Elvis impersonators.
Yeah,
another golden age kind of appeal, I think.
Yeah, there is a lot of that. It's like... See, yeah, that's kind of where it's like, you've got this golden age appeal, but at the same time, it's like, oh, the genius, you gotta move forward, with the flubber. Only flubber can say, yeah.
Even the forward stuff, like he's a lot of things, Adam Driver, in this film, but one of the many things that he's representing is like Leonardo da Vinci.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the things that are created have a very da Vinci, you know, it's like helicopter design and stuff. It's got very much that kind of
thing. Yeah. Yeah,
it's a fucking terrible film.
It's a mess of a film.
It's
I honestly didn't think, even though I thought maybe Drew's right, maybe this isn't very good. I honestly didn't think it could be as bad as.
Yeah.
I thought maybe I'll like it after all, and it'll just be a bit of a mess in some places.
I mean, it's almost beyond.
Oh yeah, there's the Citizen Kane reference.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh, of course, yeah.
There's also
it's almost beyond being a bad film, and like it's not a film. It doesn't function.
It isn't. No, it doesn't. Yeah, it's not.
As either a narrative film or a non-narrative film, it just doesn't function. It's broken.
I mean, yeah. We should compare and contrast this to Flubber.
What a waste of all the people that were in it, man. The people in it.
I've lost respect for
DB Sweeney. Looked like he'd been on a fucking 3-week bender and then dragged onto the set. You know
who's he? Which one's he?
DB Sweeney plays the police chief in it. He looks really awful in it for some reason. Like I say, it looked like he'd been in a bender for 3 weeks. He's one of those actors, he plays a few things here and there, and he's really good at it. I mean, he was a very, 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 very handsome young man, have to be said. You know, when he was, like, in his 20s, he was, like, you know, quite... to stand out, a bit like, what's his name, the guy played Superman for a while. You know, it's that kind of, like, standout handsomeness.
Mm. Mm.
And he's done some good stuff. I've enjoyed some things, man. But this... in this film, like I say, he looks like he's just been... you know, on a 3-week bender, dragged into his trailer first thing on the day, first day of shooting. And James Remar's in it for 2 minutes. I mean, there's people in it for no reason.
Yeah.
Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah. But,
I mean, his soothing voice was always like, it's nice.
Mm.
I mean, at least it wasn't fucking the other one. Not to be racist. The other black man they used to voice things over when they were soothing.
Well, isn't James Earl Jones dead?
No, James Earl Jones is dead. Morgan Freeman.
I'm tired of his voice being. So at least it wasn't him.
I'm trying to find the scene where the guy just dies from this wonderful metaphor. He just dies from like a building collapsing on him. Do you remember that bit? I can't even remember.
It's just Dustin Hoffman, isn't it? It's when it's part of the satellite collapse and coming down thing.
We did do two films back to back where a satellite plays a pivotal role.
I wouldn't say the satellite played a pivotal role in this one.
Yeah. Soviet satellites,
Soviet satellites in both cases. Yeah,
because I read that as it being he got killed by bad architecture. Whereas Adam Driver is a good architect, so
this image of the what the Megalon will look like when it does its thing is very Game of Thrones. What's it called in Game of Thrones? The Age of Legends, kind of.
Oh,
it is. I mean, I think that's the central thing. It's technocrat liberal imagines a particular technology, but just imagines that the only way to solve the ills of society is some technology will come along.
Yeah, Flubber.
Flubber will come along and make Flubber. Buildings that look like sixth form artwork.
God, what if we watch Flubber and realise that it was more profound?
It's more profound than this, I think.
So, like, okay. Again, things that were interesting about it to me, right? Like, okay, here's the thing. I'm not defending the quality of this film. It is a bad film. It is a film that feels like it is long and it doesn't go anywhere. And the protagonist doesn't change one bit despite getting shot in the face, which is kind of impressive in and of itself. But I did find some of the scenes just interestingly visual. Like, again, not necessarily good, like just random shit like that.
That was weird. With the baby. And that's the end, isn't it? Where
the baby
time and the baby somehow has control of it instead of them.
Yeah. So
also, why is it yellower than that fucking Deus Ex game?
Mm. that is a hell of. It's because what's happened is that Coppola was
isn't
over
the yellow.
It's yellow Flubber. That's the But like, yeah, so Coppola was like over the shoulder of the editor, and they go, right, let's edit this film in one day, beginning to end. And you know how your eyes adjust when there's like, you know, you're wearing... So basically, the yellow gets ramped up just simply because through the editing process, you sort of get used to it. It goes, more yellow.
That end bit with the baby, the recent Fantastic Four film does that better. That has a magic baby in it, spoilers, and it's actually a good film.
Is that a joke? Is that just like the baby? Like, does the universe just stop forever after the baby?
That's another thing with all the way through. I didn't know whether him stopping time was literal or metaphorical or allegorical or what.
Well, Natalie Emanuel sees him because I laughed at this because it's a little bit like she was describing the film, not acting in the film. Because it was like, I saw you change the laws of physics.
And that's what happened. Thank you. Thanks, Natalie. But again, that could have just been like her seeing something in him and understanding him. And like, I didn't know whether it was literal. It seemed like it was literal.
And also, the bit right at the beginning where he like leans over, is it the Empire State Building or something?
The Chrysler Building.
Chrysler Building. Yeah. And he goes.
Yeah, he goes to. He tries to. Yeah, it's as if he's going to jump off.
And then he goes, stop
and
then time.
Stops time and somehow makes himself go back. Yeah.
Yeah, but like, does the stopping of the time? Like, what happens if time stopped and then he fell off the building and died?
Yeah.
And then
again, when he stops time, other times he still moves. Yeah. In time.
He can still talk as well. And he can still move in the time freeze. Like what? How does like? There's no logic to that magic.
If you want to watch better stopping time films, there are many Japanese.
Any stopping time film is better than this. It's okay. Like
there's many Japanese Burner's
Watch.
Porn films.
Burner's Watch. There we go.
There are Japanese porn versions of Burner's Watch. Yeah.
Who did you go to the cinema to see this with, Chris?
A friend of the show, Carla, actually.
I was just thinking maybe we should have asked whoever you went with to chime in on this as well, you know.
Yeah.
What did the two of you have a similar experience?
Yeah, we just came out there going like, well, I was recommended the film because it's like, oh, this is a so bad it's good kind of thing. Not so bad that it's good, but it's so bad that you'll...
No, it was just so bad it's bad.
Yeah. The interesting thing is that we live in a culture where somebody can, just because of who they are, get enough money to make something this bad and have it published.
Yes.
$120 million. How many people could that have fed, you know?
Yeah. Well, he had to sell part of his vineyard. Not all of it, of course.
Oh, what a shame. Part of it.
Sell part
he could
of
have literally vineyard. Invented Megalon for that much.
Flubber.
Well, it's like Musk made it what he thought was a funny joke a few years ago, saying how much would it cost to solve world hunger, thinking it was completely out of... And then was it something the United Nations worked out and said, oh, you know, such and such amount.
Not that much compared to...
Way less than you've got, my friend. Yeah.
Honestly, though,
I really got it either.
I'm a little...
What the fuck was that about? I hope you're showing these... I hope I'm randomly shouting and these are being shown on the video.
People are seeing these at home. Yeah.
What the fuck? It was... Oh, no.
Yeah, I've not got a fucking clue for that one.
I don't know.
It's like they're ramming it down. Oh, he's drowning. And is it metaphorical? Is she seeing these things? Like, it's like you say, you just don't know what's meant to be part of the film and what's meant to be in people's heads.
This is why it feels like the chat in the pub, where like the goalposts keep moving or everything. Yeah, it's like...
If this film had come out a little bit later, I would have suspected AI involvement.
Oh, God, yeah.
Which is
it would have been AI, yeah.
Technological, you know, solutions.
That's a good point, yeah.
His conception of Megalon is very much like what, again, liberal technocrats think AI is. You know, like the Blairs trying to get it into every fucking government way. He just wants to make money with it. But you know what I mean? Like,
we don't know what it does.
We don't really know what it is. But it's probably the solution to everything.
Yeah, I saw, right, and this is in the Welsh Senedd, so it's a little bit more, where, generally speaking, the quality of politicians used to be a higher caliber. Well, to some degree, are a higher caliber. But they were holding, relatively early on into the AI bubble, were holding a hearing to work out how what whales can do with AI. And so many of them.
Why do they have to do something with it? This is my fucking point about all this. Yeah. We have to build these centers because we'll be left behind. What?
Yeah.
What makes you think? Well, can't we wait and see?
Yeah. Well, half of them were like they didn't know. Yeah, they didn't know what AI could like do or like how it. So, but there were a number of like really stilted speeches that basically said we've got to be careful. But we don't want to miss any opportunities. And then that was it. Yeah. Like, that's like that kind of sort of vagary.
The only opportunities are for the billionaires that are backing this stuff. That's the only people that have an opportunity.
Okay, all right, here's possible, but this is highly theoretical and highly hypothetical, so don't jump on me for this one too much.
I'm going to get annoyed here, aren't I?
Let's pretend we live in a world where AI is actually good. Okay?
Jump in already, but like there's areas that it is good at for very limited domain tasks. An AI, not a general fucking chatbot, but a machine learning algorithm that's
machine learning.
For example, I think for travel networks, I think they could spot patterns that humans wouldn't spot and be able to make a publicly owned transport network.
This is not a new thing. This isn't magic that's appeared because some tech grows have branded it. These things are always researched.
Yeah, it's heuristics with massive data centers, right? But let's say that AI can replace, like, I don't know, 30% of jobs, right?
Mm.
Where do those jobs go, right? You can't just like exist.
Again, it's because liberal democracies are in a real fucking crisis of flat productivity.
Yeah. But here's the possible thing, right? Here's the possible is that, and again, this doesn't necessarily have to apply to AI. It could apply to a more effective technology for anything, right? Is that if we come up with something that genuinely makes something more productive, that we only need a much smaller workforce in the country.
That's what was going on.
Could
we
normalize the idea of people just not having jobs?
They're looking at it from a narrow. They're looking at it as capitalists. Hmm. They're like, productivity's been flat for the last 40 years, so there's been no way to increase profits other than especially, I mean, for the last 30 years, we've been doing it on finance, just leveraging everything. And then you can get a little bit out of that for a while. But now we've reached the end of that. So what can we do to cut costs? Like AI might, if AI could get rid of 30% of workers without affecting productivity, then you're saving 30% of your wage bill. But they don't even go to the next step. Then what do we do about
businesses wouldn't go to the next step.
Those unemployed people.
Government, that's where the government allegedly should step in.
No, but they're of the same. The government represents the will of the capitalists.
It's a failing of government to think that labor is the solution to all problems, right? Everyone needs a job. No, absolutely it shouldn't be. You know, if we can develop this technology that does actually
if that did happen, it might come to such a crisis that they just had to do UBI.
Well, here's the thing where I think the crisis is kind of revealing itself on the right wing, and this is a bit fascist, is a lot of the right side, the right wing side of reform restore that are gaining a little bit of traction. Starting to like float the idea of like women not working anymore because I feel like this is them sort of like recognizing, if there's going to be a shortage of jobs, who's going to be the ones that aren't going to have the jobs? The women.
Yeah, because it aligns with their social.
Yeah. So, I think they've kind of spotted it in a way, but their proposed solution or approach to it is.
I don't know if you can hear me.
Can hear you. Yeah, we can hear you.
You can hear me, right? Okay.
Yeah.
I never touched anything, so I don't know what's happened.
Okay, he can't hear us, but it's his complicated microphone setup.
What's mute, M, maybe? No,
we never
have type in M's, isn't it?
No. I'm a wireless, look at me. No wires, mum.
Any good?
Hello, any...
you're back. Yeah, I can hear you again. I don't know what happened. Okay.
Let's blame it on Discord.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
To be honest, we'd use something else if Drew didn't hate his own breathing so much. Which, to be honest, is that even going to get picked up on the new microphone now that you're a decent distance?
Probably not, actually. Yeah, probably not.
So, because I like how with Jitsi on a more superficial level, it fills the screen.
Yeah, I mean, we can go to Jitsi.
Why doesn't like fucking Discord? Why is Discord insistent on having these fucking 16:9 for meetings? It should be square. We should be square.
We've got to make use of the whole frame.
The fucking TV's like that doesn't need to be there. I don't know what to do with that.
You've got our washing hanging there quite a lot of the time.
Yeah, but we get to see Peanut.
I love. In this case, it's worth it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there we go.
And crap that I've left on this one.
Crapless background. Because actually, for the first time in ever, I've got a desk that doesn't face a wall, and actually, I kind of see the appeal of it now.
Yeah, I'd love if I had enough space to have a desk in, you know, with the wall behind me and a bit of space, you know.
Yeah, mine's facing into the room.
So are you facing the wall, Hamish?
I'm facing the wall, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Well, it's my living room. I've only got two rooms. Well, I've got a bathroom and a kitchen, but I've only got a bedroom and a living room. So,
see,
at the moment,
sometimes. Yeah, sometimes like me and Rosie talk about like a 5-year plan or like what a future house of ours is going to like look like, because we've all got like, because we're not having children, we kind of, you know, we can kind of throw around some like more unorthodox ideas. Like, for example, we got like, there's a living room downstairs with a massive sofa in it. We only ever use it when we're eating in front of the telly, to be honest. Like,
yeah,
people don't
use living rooms anymore. Yeah,
no, like we could use that. Yeah. We do think about the idea of maybe we could have that as the computer gaming room, because this is just bedroom 2. Yeah. And have more space there, have a couch in it, like sort of like Hamish's set up a little bit, and have it as a more active room. Because like, do you ever like divide the rooms in your house into like, they're either active rooms where you're doing something or passive rooms where you're sort of sitting down, right? Like basically stand up rooms and sit down rooms. So like a living room you think of, or you think of as a sit down room. Kitchen, stand up room. Bathroom is a stand up room because you're active. Do you know what I mean? You're doing things. You don't really relax so much in the bathroom, or at least we as men don't.
Surely then the only passive room is the bedroom.
Bedroom, living room is the passive rooms.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And actually, if you think about it, a lot of a house, especially if you're a family, are bedrooms, like passive rooms.
Yeah.
So, but like, to be honest, if there's only two of us, the only passive room we really need is the bedroom. We've got a great TV watching setup in the bedroom anyway. So, you know, we could do the living room.
I would just make the living room, if it's bigger, into a bedroom / computer room. Make that the everything.
Rosie loves the idea of having a bedroom that opens up into the garden.
Yes, I would like that as well.
A living room, and especially if there's a hot tub in it.
No, absolutely not.
I've come over to hot tubs. I actually quite like them.
I mean, as a person for whom cleanliness is very important, they seem just like you're going to get diseases going in.
Oh, there's chemicals. You put chemicals in it, it's fine. The chemical, and you can clean.
Also,
you clean.
Hot water is unpleasant to be in.
Wrong.
Well, correct.
No, right. Actually, yeah. No, wrong. Wrong. Oh, dear me.
Do you not believe in democracy, Chris?
Oh. Oh, is there a still? Is there a still? How the fuck am I going to do a fucking thumbnail for this?
How am I going to rate it? I went to rate it after I watched it, and I was like, it's a 1, but it's so fucking fascinating. Not fascinating as in it's got anything interesting to say. Just why does this exist? How can you not have done better?
So
lavish and cheap.
But it's Trumpian in that respect.
It is, yeah. And it's kind of, it's very Trumpian. Very flashy, very superficial.
Yeah, but like also if you think about it,
wanting the microphone and having nothing to say. It is Trumpian. Yeah.
Trump is a liberal in disguise as well, which kind of layers that layers that in. I mean, I don't know, I feel that's a bit unfair. He's vapid in disguise.
Is he in disguise?
I think he pretends to be a thing.
Oh, speaking of terrible cartoons from the 80s, I watched Masters of the Universe, the film.
Oh, right, okay. Any
Not
good? Oh, my God!
You mean the new one?
Yeah.
Oh, when you said the 80s, I thought you meant the Dolph Lundgren.
No, not the terrible 80s one. And it's perfectly adequate. It's like somebody made a James Gunn film, but not as good. But it's funny in places.
I feel like I've seen it because it was when I went to cinema recently, the trailer was on. So
it is one of those. The best in the trailer, and so is all the story.
I assumed it'd be rubbish. There's a scene I'm trying to get still from.
It's quite good. It's perfectly good.
Do you like the actual cartoon though, Drew? Do you like Masters?
No. I don't care. As a kid, I watched it. The toys were around. I didn't particularly love it even as a kid, but it was fine.
Do you remember this scene? Right, I'll try and pull that one up. Right, this scene is actually awful to get a still from because there's that guy. The guy just breaks that scene. The walking past bystander.
See, that's another thing that just it was a really interesting setup, but goes nowhere because he just leaves and becomes like a groupie for somebody or something.
Yeah, somebody. Yeah, the incestuous family.
I one of my very early notes was undulating daughters.
Undulating.
just a covey of daughters just undulating. And there's a lot of exposed breasts in this film.
Sorry, say it again,
There's a lot of basically exposed breasts.
Basically exposed breasts.
Like breasts with either saggy, very low cut, very low cut tops where the tits were very clearly visible, or with like very sheer tops with very visible tits. Yeah, Aubrey Plaza and Natalie Emmanuel.
That's my favorite.
Your favorite tit?
My favorite. Oh,
yeah. Very, very Return of the Jedi.
The one from earlier.
You what, sorry?
The one she wears at the earlier on is basically see-through. The one she wears...
Yeah. To the point where I'm not saying this is a pervy. I mean, I obviously was perving, but that's not my point. My point is, Francis Ford Coppola was clearly, I want these attractive women wearing sheer clothing in my film.
And I'll get back to that in a minute then, but I was just going to say the other bit is that as they've got the dead body of the wife, they pull her out in the morgue.
Yeah, yeah.
And they deliberately jolt her and bounce her.
Yes, And wouldn't she be rigor mortis at that point?
Pardon?
Wouldn't she be rigor mortis at that point?
Well, that's what I was thinking as well. Yeah. Well, I think it was meant to be. It was hard to tell what they were meant. But the point is that you wouldn't pull the tray out and slam it all the way open, would you?
Have some respect for the dead.
Here's your dead relative. Can you
identify? They have those things that like bougie kitchen drawers have, where you can pull them out hard, but they still go slow at the end.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's what you'd expect them to.
Or you just expect a bit of respect from somebody opening a drawer in a morgue.
But again, the wife plot line.
I guess the whole point of the wife plot line was, so Giancarlo Esposito comes in and he says, I falsely, prosecuted you.
At the beginning, we find out that it's believed that he murdered his wife and there was a court trial. And then towards the end, we find out she died. They drove off a bridge.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
How was that murder? How did they think that was murder?
But Esposito said, he goes, I wrongfully prosecuted you.
Surely the defense would have gone, she drove off a bridge. The defense rest.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't. I mean, obviously, this is suspending reality a little bit.
A lot of suspension of reality. Yeah.
Esposito can just send people down for the smallest of things. This is New Rome. New York, right?
I assume that bridge was in public, and that you can pretend somebody did do something, but I just don't make it. Also, what was her purpose? Did she? Because if he hadn't fallen in love with Natalie Emmanuel, then it's like a Sleeping Beauty kind of thing. Because she seemed to be, I don't know whether that bed thing, she seemed to be alive in the Megalon in some way.
But then she was Jane Doe on the tray in the morgue, so...
Yeah.
Ah, but that's because he was told that he couldn't find the body.
I think that was fake. I think, right. Yeah, it was.
No, that's, that's what the Giancarlo Esposito's confession thing was, that they did find the body, but he hid it from.
Ah, right, gotcha.
I was going to say one more thing before I go back to the. There's something I was going to go back to, but I want to do this one. Did anybody else expect actual gladiators in the arena thing?
there weren't any.
A little bit disappointed that there weren't.
Not for the bloodthirsty point of view, but because I thought that was, because that's
I mean,
that's not far from where America is these days.
Well, they did. It's kind of interesting because they did. Historians may want to watch it, but my understanding is so there were the hippodromes, right, which were chariot racing, and that was the thing in ancient Greece. And then the Romans kind of moved away a little bit from the chariot racing and started doing the gladiatorial combat and stuff. So this was Rome, but they did the hippodrome thing with the chariot. So I don't know. I mean, in the Eastern Empire, they still had chariot racing. But...
They did it around a little circular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are ducking now, by the way, Hamish, since you rejoined. You are ducking, which is perhaps why I'm talking over you a bit.
Oh, hang on a minute. There was something. There was some gladiatorial. Oh my God, it was women.
What was that?
No, it was wrestling, though. It was like
wrestling. Sort of, wrestling.
And there was, there was one of the circles, it was two women, And one of them was called Amazonia or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, another creative genius.
I mean, also the main character being called Caesar. I don't know what we're supposed to take from that. And somebody else was Crassius, right?
That was the old guy, right?
Because he doesn't fit. They weren't fitting the characters.
Well, exactly, because he doesn't fit either the sort of common conception of Caesar as like a founder of civilization, or the reality of Caesar as a genocidal fucking nutcase.
Yeah, it was all a bit weird. But going back to the Francis Ford Coppola wanting people naked, have you got the Wikipedia page up?
Okay, let's get the Wikipedia.
Let's have a look.
Okay,
and
right.
Chris is better at reading things out than I am. So
there's a lot here, right? Epic science fiction drama written directed by Francis Ford Coppola. Ensemble cast: Adam Driver, Giancarlo Esposito, Natalie Emmanuel, Aubrey Plaza, Shia LaBeouf, John Voight, Lawrence Fishburne, Talia Shire. Which one is she? She one of the
Talia Shire.
Talia Shire.
She used to be. She's kind of a cute looking woman who plays his mother.
And the rest.
Well, she's in her late 80s now, but she was cute when she was younger.
Dustin Hoffman. Okay, so which part are we getting to? Because, oh my God, this is a fucking long page.
It's got a production.
Okay, production.
Alleged conflicts on set. There's quite a lot of stuff going on here. And you've got all of this stuff about creative differences. And then the paragraph after that, or the section after that, rather, allegations of misconduct.
Plaza spoke about Coppola's spontaneous approach to filmmaking, explaining that he would
that's
often
the creative differences part.
This bit is kind of interesting too.
I suppose it is. Actually,
That he would often come up with new ideas on the spot. You don't say.
No, I thought it was all planned out. Really careful.
At times, this see Aubrey Plaza actually, was one of the more entertaining characters on the screen.
Yeah, like I said, I think Aubrey Plaza and Shia LaBeouf were just. They were excellent. They made it kind of worth watching the film because the two of them were outrageously characterful.
Yeah. Like they were just having fun with it, which was clearly the right way to approach it.
At times, this resulted in sudden location changes and unexpected shifts in the day's shooting plans, leaving actors unaware of what to expect as the day unfolds. Some crew
your
members.
Your microphone's a wee bit far from your mouth, Chris. You've gone a bit quiet.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. You're just a bit quiet. That's all.
Hang on a minute. Let me just check me volumes. I think I'm okay. One second. Yeah.
I mean, you sound a bit tinny and plastic, but that's because you're using a headset. So
okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Used to that.
Some crew members described the approach as exasperating and old school. As Coppola was hesitant to decide how the film would look and would spend days completing shorts practically instead of relying on digital techniques.
Okay.
Because yeah, it looked like there was a lot of CGI, but was it all practical? Yeah,
yeah. Well, it says completing shots practically instead of... Does that mean messing with lighting and lenses and stuff instead of fixing it later? Is that what they mean by that?
Maybe, yeah.
It doesn't show because it looks the opposite.
Yeah.
A crew member recounted that Coppola frequently arrived on set in the mornings before major sequences without a clear plan. Since he refused to let his collaborators establish one, he often spent hours in his trailer avoiding communication and reportedly smoking marijuana. When he eventually emerged, he would improvise scenes that disregarded prior discussions and the script... disregarding prior discussions in the script, leaving the crew to adapt. On Driver's first day on set, Coppola allegedly took 6 hours to achieve an effect by projecting an image onto the side of Driver's head. Coppola denied smoking marijuana on set, adding that he'd been avoiding the substance ever since his weight loss in 2017. Okay, on December 9th, 2022, Coppola/Coppola, I haven't settled on how to pronounce his name, sorry. Coppola fired most of the visual effects team with the rest of the department, including supervisor Mark Russell, soon following. In January 2023, reports indicated the budget ballooned higher than its initial $120 million, which The Hollywood Reporter compared to Coppola's history of challenging productions, most notoriously Apocalypse Now. Due to an alleged unstable filming environment, a claim Coppola and Driver contested... Okay. Other crew members exited the film, including the production designer Beth Mickle and art director David Scott, along with the art department.
That explains a lot.
Coppola replaced Russell with his nephew, Jesse James Chisholm.
Chisholm.
Over a dispute over live special effects, which he completed with his son and second unit director Roman Coppola, as they had with Bram Stoker's Dracula. Coppola further explained that he hired Mickle for a work in recreating 1950s New York for Edward Norton's Motherless Brooklyn, but that creative differences formed to a degree that it was decided that the best thing would be if I hired a concept artist and came up with frames that showed what I wanted. Which I did.
Sounds a bit like planning.
Working with concept artist Dean Sheriff to translate his vision through keyframe concept art, which he describes as similar in style to a woven mural or tapestry, he permitted minimal input from the art department, whose practices having recently completed Marvel Cinematic Universe's film Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, he deemed conventional, expensive, and hierarchical. The art department was frustrated because they felt, quote, "The art department was frustrated because they felt I was evolving the look of the picture independently of them," he said. "They wanted giant sets and images. I wanted other elements like costumes and live effects to do some of the work and have it not all be art department-centric." So there was disagreement among those lines. Coppola had originally set $100 million for the budget and $20 million as contingency, as the budget was at risk of rising to $148 million, which he said would have bankrupted me and my family. He laid off one of the 5 art directors, leading the entire team to resign. I bet that saved a few quid. Production allegedly wrapped a week ahead of schedule, with the budget close to the planned $120 million, according to Coppola. In contrast, one person involved with the film told the Wall Street Journal the production costs ultimately reached $136 million.
Yeah.
So he fired a lot of art people.
That doesn't show because how great the film looked. Oh.
Okay, allegations of misconduct, all right?
There's a lot here. Yeah.
How much have we got to get through? Okay, yeah. So, Anonymous crew members characterized Coppola's on-set behavior as unprofessional. On February 14th, 2023, a Studio 54-inspired club scene was filmed at Tabernacle, a concert hall in Atlanta, with 150 to 200 extras, some of whom were approved for topless or scantily clad appearances. Coppola was accused of pulling women onto his lap and kissing female extras during the shoot. Executive producer Darren Dimitri defended Coppola by stating that his hugs and kisses on the cheek to cast members and extras were affectionate gestures, emphasizing that no complaints of harassment or inappropriate behavior was brought to his attention during production. Addressing the allegations, Coppola referred to advice his mother gave him on treating women with respect and said his actions were not disrespectful. Mentioned that one of the women he kissed on the cheek was someone he had known since she was young. Oh, great. And decided and described himself as too shy to be touchy-feely.
Nothing creepy about that sentence. Okay.
In July 2020...
I've known her since she was a baby.
I mean, it's not surprising with Hollywood, is it?
I mean, it's not the worst so far. It's not the worst. It's not good. Oh,
wait till you get the rest, then.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm expecting it to get worse. This is why I'm... Yeah,
there's three paragraphs.
In July 2024, video surfaced showing interactions between Coppola and extras at the Tabernacle. Sources told Variety that Coppola frequently wandered into frame while engaging with background actors after multiple takes, made an announcement over a microphone apologising in advance for kissing extras, claiming it was for his enjoyment. Oh, well, that's all right, then.
It's for your enjoyment.
Another source highlighted the absence of a human resources department on set.
Fuck me.
While reports indicated that intimacy coordinators were not present during the filming. Additionally, senior crew members allegedly informed bystanders that they were prohibited from sharing recordings of the encounters due to non-disclosure agreements. Days after the controversy surfaced, extras present during the filming shared conflicting perspectives. Raina Menz dismissed allegations of inappropriate behaviour, insisting that being kissed and hugged unexpectedly... insisting that Coppola did nothing to make her or anyone else on set feel uncomfortable. In contrast, Lauren Pagone expressed shock at being kissed and hugged unexpectedly, criticising Menz's remarks by emphasising that experiences varied. Another crew member claimed that Coppola kissed multiple women without their warning after calling cut on a New Year's Eve party scene that ended with on-screen kisses. Coppola defended himself by stating that the women he kissed on the cheek during the scene were individuals he had known personally. Coppola was later accused of leering and kissing a 13-year-old female extra on set. On September 9th, Pagone filed a lawsuit against Coppola, his production company, and two casting agencies, accusing them of civil assault, civil battery, and negligent failure to prevent sexual harassment. She claimed that during the club scene filmed on February 14th, Coppola kissed her on the cheek and touched her back and waist without consent. Additionally, she alleged that he had made inappropriate remarks about her appearance and urged her to sit on his lap and refer to him as uncle.
Wow.
Coppola initially placed a cease and desist letter against Variety requesting a retraction of their July 26th article that featured videos of the encounters and described his behavior as unprofessional. After Variety published further articles regarding his alleged misconduct, he filed a libel lawsuit against the man journalists. And journalist Brett Lang and Tatiana Segal on September 10th, seeking $15 million and further punitive and exemplary damages in the lawsuit. In the lawsuit, Coppola challenged the video's credibility and denies claims that the production did not have a human resources department. Challenged the credibility and denied claims that the production did not have a human resources department, and he often inadvertently inserted himself into frame, describing any such incidences as the crew being in frame as anticipated and unavoidable.
I mean, as somebody said there, it is the kind of thing that one person will take very differently from another person. some people will, it will, you know, the director will come up and kiss them and they're like totally fine with that, I'm sure. But that doesn't mean
that shouldn't be the norm.
Yeah.
Well, it's fine. I mean, people who do enjoy that kind of contact, that's perfectly fine. But
to enforce it on people,
it's a bit unprofessional. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's actors, it's show business.
Actors and show business is Harvey Weinstein. So let's not lean on that.
I'm saying actors who know each other very well engaging in that kind of touching because they know they both, it's very different from a director or a, it's a different kettle of fish. And I'm sure there were actors, actresses who are fine with it, but that doesn't mean, because there will be some who are not, maybe don't do it to anybody.
Yeah. Well, it was an extras as well. Like, you know, I mean,
Oh, I just remember who Talia Shire is, famously. She's Adrian from Rocky.
I can't remember. I haven't seen Rocky in so long.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she's the one that plays the mother.
Oh, his interestingly mom. Enough.
Incidentally, her she's part of the Coppola family. And Jason Schwartzman, who was in the film, is another member of the Coppola family. There's quite a lot of members of the Coppola family in this film.
Interestingly enough, 46% of the Rotten Tomatoes critics Rotten Tomatoes.
What?
46. They got 46% amongst critics.
What the fuck are tomatoes?
Rotten Tomatoes. Rotten Tomatoes. But it's an American website. They call it tomatoes.
Doesn't matter. The film's called Clarks. The band is ZZ Top. I don't care.
ZZ Top.
ZZ Top is too far. Clarks, I'm with you.
But we don't. No, we don't have to. Yeah.
Sorry, on you go, Chris. I was
46 is high. I mean, it's not high for a film, but it's high for this. And 34 of the public as well.
Yeah.
That's kind of nuts.
Metacritic, which uses a weighted average, assigned the film a score of 55 out of 100.
Wow. That's too high.
So the critics' consensus on Rotten Tomatoes, more of a creative manifesto than a cogent narrative feature, Francis Ford Coppola's Megalopolis is an overstuffed opus that's equal parts stimulating and slapdash. Half of that is true.
Yeah.
take out the word creative and stimulating.
Well, I don't know. There's a couple of bits with Aubrey Plaza that are stimulating.
I mean, I'll be honest.
For the right reasons.
I thought Shia LaBeouf and Aubrey Plaza to be really quite enjoyable.
Hang on, you cut out for most of that. Say that again.
Yeah.
For me, at least.
I found the sex scene between Aubrey Plaza and Shia LaBeouf to be quite enjoyable.
Yes. Yeah. That was a good scene, actually. That was a good. It felt right for what it was.
It was weird, but
blanked that out.
when he was like she was auntieing him.
I remember. Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah maybe that's why I blanked it out. Yeah.
A lot of auntie wow and all, and that was a good scene. Yeah, just make a pervy film like that. I'd enjoy that.
Yeah, well,
that was more fitting to the sort of decadent Roman thing, you know.
Yeah.
And the incest and semi-incest.
They implied full incest, but...
Oh, did they? With whom?
Shia LaBeouf and his sisters.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's more than once they mentioned that.
Yeah, but I don't think they go, oh, of course. Did you see the Hitler cameo?
Yes. Yeah, I remember seeing it.
At the end, the montage.
Yeah. It's weird how they, they casted him so highly.
9/11 thing as well, didn't they?
Yeah.
We're going to watch the entire Hitler cinematic universe.
It's going to be quite a big one. Right?
Well, what about
only non-documentary appearances, I think.
What about spin-offs like The Birth of a Nation?
Hitler's nothing to do with that.
Wow. I don't. It's a spin-off. It's not
Leni Riefenstahl was pretty much a genius in terms of thing. It's just a pity of what she chose for the content, you know.
I, Are we gonna get stuck doing Birth of a Nation? Like, we can't.
God no,
It's not super watchable. It's an interesting film. It's interesting because the subject matter is obviously abhorrent.
Yeah.
I don't get the impression Griffith was actually an actively racist person. I think he bought into the mythology of how the KKK presents it. But in terms of cinema history, it had a lot of innovate, because it's a very early film, had a lot of innovations in it. It did push filmmaking forwards. So it's a really weird mixed thing.
Shia LaBeouf has got full bush in the sex scene.
Yeah, I like that as well. Yeah. I mean, need bush to come back. Stop shaving your fucking genitals, you weirdos.
I mean,
it's very strange for that one. I think
it is. Back to the '70s.
Well, it's kind of another thing about youth, isn't it? It's almost almost pervy,
if it is about youth, that's too youth.
Exactly what I'm saying. Yeah, that's my point. Yeah, it's too far. Yeah.
To be honest, I take a bit of weight out of it. So
you were. I
take a bit of weight out of it. The bush.
How heavy are your pubes?
To be honest, if I don't do a small amount of sculpting, it does get a bit of a jungle down there.
Ooh, tired.
I'm an entire jungle, so it doesn't really bother me.
I want it growing down the fucking thighs. I want a bush.
But you know, I mean, to each their own, innit?
Shave the head. More people should shave the heads, but leave downstairs alone.
And Uncle Albert.
And what? Sorry.
An Uncle Albert.
What's an Uncle Albert?
Like, you know, Captain Birdseye. Shaved on top.
Bald on the top with a big beard.
So, I believe next time we're doing fucking Spaceballs and possibly having those on.
Is it called fucking Spaceballs? Is that the proper name for it?
Fucking Spaceballs. And then it's my turn again.
I feel bad for Ozone. Like, I love Ozone. He's excellent as a person.
He is excellent as a person,
but he's gonna get. I've got to try and find some.
I think we've made it clear that we all dislike it, and he seems happy to come on and talk about it under those conditions. So
I don't dislike it. I just don't think it's that amazing.
I would put Spaceballs as much worse than Megalopolis.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which one would they rather watch?
Wow. Well, I put Megalopolis as a 6 out of 10.
Yeah, I don't know.
I know you did, and I don't understand.
I think it's just because it's not interesting. It's interesting that it got made. It's interesting it took the form it took. It's interesting something this bad and this expensive got made with such talented people in it. But to watch it is not actually that. Like, if I'm recommending somebody watching this, like, it's not actually worth a watch.
I would not watch this. I would not recommend this to anyone that isn't you two.
You mean Megalopolis?
Yeah, Megalopolis.
Yeah. I'm glad I watched it to see it, but it's not worth a watch. It's kind of like the Star Wars Holiday Special. It's a thing you endure that's unpleasant and incoherent, but then at the end of it you can say I watched it.
I don't even know if I've made it all the way through.
It's not worth watching all the way through. No, I have watched it all the way through.
Be Arthur, you know.
Be Arthur in the pub. Yeah. Hers is actually the best bit. That song she does is the best fucking bit in the thing.
Which song?
Which is saying something. The Be Arthur song.
Hang on a minute, are we talking about Megalopolis?
No, we're talking about
Christmas. No. Christmas special. B. Arthur's been dead for a few years now, I think.
Okay,
hang on, very, very briefly. Would Megalopolis have been improved with a few musical numbers? I think there was one with Vesta, but...
Yeah,
but... I think if there were flashy, like, Busby Berkeley, big, lavish musical numbers, I think it'd be a better film.
Yeah, but then he'd have to write songs, and that's planning.
And also frightening,
but also, like, look at their USB drive that for some reason plugs into the H. Is that an H? No, that's USB.
That's literally just a normal editing desk for a studio. So the futurism was you know, whether it was in the past, the future, it was. No, it really did hurt me.
Every single decision that went into the production of this film was incorrect.
Mm. Yeah, quite possibly. Except maybe casting Shia LaBeouf and Aubrey Plaza.
Yeah. Somebody used this metaphor about another film, but I think it's apt here. Watching it was like when your girlfriend tells you about her day at work. It's like a big fucking incoherent story with plot lines that just drop off and characters that seem to come in and seem to change personalities. Don't lie just because you've got a girlfriend right now. This is a universal experience.
No, it's more to do with the film.
The film isn't that.
I'd rather listen to Rosie's Day at Work than watch the film again. Yeah, no.
Well, yeah, this is... I think we all would.
I'm looking.
All you've got at the end of it is questions, but none of them are interesting.
Yeah. If you got the answers, you would still be like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Drew, what are you giving it then in your rating? Because Chris has gone six, which is insane.
I
was going to try and balance it, but it's a one. It's a bad fucking film. It's one of the worst films I've ever seen. As a film, it's one of the worst.
Well, hang on, isn't the
I'm
fact...
I'm going to be slightly more generous and give it a 3 because of... Well, as I say, Shia LaBeouf and Aubrey Plaza's performances and some of the scenes with them are really cool.
I think maybe
it's just a 2 then.
It's a little bit of a provocative score I'm giving it. Okay, like I'm being a bit. Indignant.
You're setting up for that in 10 years' time when Empire look back at all of his films and say, "Ah, this was an undiscovered moment of genius by Coppola." And
I do wonder if there is something in there that I'm missing, but like, I really don't think there is.
Yeah, that's what it makes you feel like. What the film makes you feel like, but that's exactly the kind of bullshit that. Well, like the Empire magazine is one of the prime people of it. They know something you don't, sort of thing. Empire magazine and the fucking Guardian. The two of them are same kind of people that read them both. You know.
Yeah.
So they know what they should like and what they shouldn't.
I was going to have a look. What other films I've marked a 1 to see whether it really deserves a 1? It's a fucking lot. But like. Amelie, yeah, it's bang on par with Amelie.
I've not seen that one. I know of it, but I've not seen it.
Horrible. No,
not my thing, really.
What else we got? Baby Driver, that was shit.
I'd give that a few points more than that, but it wasn't, again, that was one of those films that you were meant to like, that you were supposed to think was great.
I thought it would be good. Yeah, but no. Mm.
The idea was good, but it didn't warrant a whole film.
Yeah.
It's just like the Human Centipede.
What other ones have you got there, Drew? Come on.
I mean, I've got a lot. I'll go through them very quickly. So, Up, Twilight, Titanic, The Year Without a Santa Claus, Truman Show, Sixth Sense, Silence of the Lambs, The Post, Pirate Movie, The Mummy, Matrix Revolution, Matrix Reloaded, The Matrix, all of The Lord of the Rings, that Incredible Hulk film, all of The Hobbits, Green Mile. Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot there was a few you're just complete curmudgeon about. I forgot.
Yeah, like, come on. Like, there's so many, like, first of all...
I think a lot of those are overrated, but I don't think they're as bad as you're making.
Yeah, yours is the, I'm going to piss off people by giving them a 1.
No, it's not. It's films that I genuinely get.
Lord of the Rings deserves much more than a 1.
No. Boring fucking story. So boring. Such a boring fucking nothing story. And they take so long to tell it. And all the characters are twats.
Apart from
Aragorn's okay. Apart from he's a king. And it's like blood right. That's fascist. And who else is okay? his girlfriend, who's not an elf. She's all right.
What about Sam? Oh, he's good.
Eowyn, you mean?
Sam's... Yeah. I like
she was the best looking woman in the whole thing. That's the Australian actress. I can't remember her name, but she's lovely.
Yeah. Sam's nice, but he's fucking irritating. They're all the hobbits are fucking irritating.
They're nice. They're like the small English folk. Yeah. You don't hate the English, do you, Drew? Oh, hang on a minute. I want to do something here. I'm doing the thumbnail and I want to try and color correct the yellow. Okay, here's an interesting thing, right? Sometimes when I'm driving a bus and the sun is a bit low in the sky, headlights are on, usually more so in the winter, and you get like a lot of glare. So I've got these polarizing glasses that go over top of my glasses, and they got a yellow yellow tint on them, and
the ones,
I look awful in them. I wish I could find glasses like
everybody
that.
Everybody does.
Yeah. I look like...
I mean, you can get polarized glasses that are just, you know, greyish. They don't have to be yellow.
Yeah, but it's also partly because I wear them on top of my glasses, so I look like I'm wearing two pairs of glasses. I also look a little bit like Bono, which is... No one wants that. Like, but they are, like, in the middle of... In winter, when it's cold, it adds a warmth to everything that is actually quite comforting to
me. Well, this is an old man thing, but I miss sodium streetlights. That warm.
I had one up until about 6 months ago.
Really? Oh. You had one for that long?
The one that's still concrete as well. It's still concrete. The one that's is one of the modern ones. But the one
they swapped
here was...
ours out for fluorescent a while back, and in the last few weeks, they swapped them out for LED ones, and the streets are so fucking bright now at night. Like, it's... Like daytime.
Well, these aren't too bad. The one at the end of the street is down facing only, and it's LED, but it's not. It's bright enough that you feel safe walking to your door, but not so glary that you can't see the sky. But the one here is an old style one, and it still is. But they replaced the actual light box with an LED one about 6 months ago or something, maybe even less than that. But it was orange up until then. It kept breaking because it was old.
I do miss the orange, especially when it snowed. And the orange, like, it would just be, everything would be orange. It was beautiful.
Yeah. Not that happens anymore, but...
And it was a weirdly warm orange. Like, it wasn't a... wasn't yellow.
Yeah.
The streetlights here, this is a new build estate, and they're definitely warmer than a lot of other... So I think they're working out that people, because the warmer lights,
making it just white light, so you can tell what color things are. Like, there is some,
but there's glare. Do you know what I mean? I think the warmness is to stop things from
glaring.
Yeah, because I hate, especially when you get older, and of course now you know we notice that boomers are retiring. It's like a lot of boomers now, like a big chunk of the big wad of the population pipeline, are just like they're moving up towards retirement age now, right? I mean, there are many boomers that are already retired, but I'm talking about like the bulk of the population mass, unless I'm mistaken. They're all sort of, which is going to bugger the fucking care system.
yeah,
but that's part of... Well, this takes you back to what Thatcher's, Thatcher's plan from the start. Get people to want, get people to think that they're temporarily embarrassed millionaires. Mm-hmm. Get them to aspire. Get them to buy a house, right? Mm-hmm. They pay mortgages, which gives money to all her people, right? So on the interest, they then they live in the house for a while. Then meanwhile, while their houses have been paid off, shaft and destroy the care system.
Mm-hmm.
Then privatize it. Mm-hmm. Then, once they get to a certain age, because the care system has to be paid for now, and they'll say, "Oh, national insurance isn't that doesn't matter anymore." Blah blah blah. You then have to pay. You have to sell off your house because you're only allowed a few thousand pounds of savings or property if you have to go into care.
And before that, it makes you care about asset price inflation, which aligns your interests with the interests of capital.
Yep. Yep,
it was genius. She was.
It's genius if that was the plan. Though. Like don't get me wrong.
That was the plan. That was explicitly the plan.
So it wasn't to make everyone eat Mr. Whippy. But like, you know, all three meals a day.
But she was an incredibly like on the evil side, but I admire her efficacy. Like she knew what to do and how to do it, and she got it fucking done. I would love not. Where's the good version of that? You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
She, but no, that was the plan. They make money. Not, they make money like off fucking, you all your life.
She wasn't a Trump. She had a fucking ideological.
Oh yeah, he's just a fucking idiot.
And she carried it out, like, you know.
Yeah. So you pay all your taxes and your and things like that. You pay mortgage money, which they make the same class of people make money out of, the predatory class to make money out of. They destroy and take money out of the care system while you're doing all this, and then they leave you with the bill. And you're not even allowed to transfer it or something. It's got to be like 7 years.
No, it's an enormous transfer of assets from public hands to private, and then from private to capital.
What's the difference between private and capital then?
Well, individual private to, you know, capital.
No, okay.
Gosh.
Are you thinking about a thumbnail at the moment?
I'm doing the thumbnail. Yeah. Oh, you recognise the laugh?
Should we still be recording while you're doing the thumbnail? Don't we usually stop before that?
I don't mind. I mean, have we said everything that we've got to say?
I think we've hit the run out of steam part.
Yeah.
I will. Do I need to bring this down to a sensible
level?
So
6, 1, and 2 is our ratings then.
Fuck it, no, I can't give it a six. I can't give it a six.
Wing mentioned the other day, Wing very much enjoys every time you mention Psycho Gorman, it goes up a notch.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
Megalopolis is going to be the opposite of that.
Yeah, it's teetering on a 10 is Psycho Gorman, to be honest. It will require a rewatch before it makes it into a 10. I think I should have a rule that nothing can be a 10 or a 1. No, hang on a minute. Nothing can be a 10 if I've only watched it once.
Yeah, that seems fair.
I think a 1, I think I might not There's have that one. Rule.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. I don't need to watch Birth of a Nation twice.
I'm trying to think what else I would call a 1 right away.
I haven't seen it at all.
I've not seen that. What's it called? Oh, for fuck's sake. I forgot what it was called now. Big disaster movie from the 90s, 2000s.
2012?
No, that one was all right. I liked that one.
I liked 2012. I love 2012, yeah.
Yeah. No, it was the same sort of time, though.
It's a five or a four. Five or a four.
What kind of disaster?
Ben Affleck's in it. It's an asteroid going to hit the planet disaster.
Oh, so it's not Deep Impact. It's the other one.
No,
Armageddon?
Because that one was all right. Armageddon, yeah. I actually rewatched that to make sure, just because I thought, can it really be as bad as... Oh, horrible. My God, it was.
I don't know how they... I love a disaster film, and I can love a shitty disaster film, but it's like, somehow they made it... I mean, it's Disney in it, but somehow they made it wank.
Oh, is that what it was? Right, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they focused on all of the wrong stuff.
Gosh.
And no, we're not doing it as one of our films.
No, it's not working.
Because there's no fucking way I'm ever, ever watching it again.
Well, this is bizarre, and I've had to merge layers to get it to work. Oh, gosh. Good God.
So how far do you think Megalopolis can fall, Chris? What's its floor?
At the moment, it's... I dropped it down to a 4.
Yeah. That's high. What other 4s have you got?
What other 4s have I got? Let's see. I still haven't worked out a way to, like... I've styled my website. I quite like the style of it, but I haven't actually worked out a way to, like, organize the categories. Right, so 4s. Right. We've got... Oh, there's not many 4s. Okay, so... Oh, Bill and Ted Face the Music...
So you're saying Megalopolis is 3 better than Ready Player One?
Yes.
Like, Ready Player One wasn't good, but it wasn't that bad.
No, it was awful. It was awful.
Wasn't that bad.
No, worse than Megalopolis.
Is that the Bill and Ted with the daughters? Is that
Yeah. Is that's a 4. Four. Right, okay. Now, 4 is not the worst of the... Okay, Shaun of the Dead. Flash Gordon, sorry. That's
Flash Gordon is... That's a solid 10. You are incorrect on that.
Solo, A Star Wars Story. The Fifth Element. Total
Fifth
Recall
does not deserve 4.
Oh, Total Recall!
Total Recall, though, the real one or the
1990?
Oh no, that's great. How's that got a fucking four?
How did I give it a four? Because I mean, it's got three boobs on. You know, like it's one of the first times I ever saw boobs for proper and in a film. Well,
you didn't really, did you? The prosthetic, so
they were real for me.
It's the same as going into a joke shop, really. You know?
No, no, don't ruin this for me, Hamish. what we do in the show? Oh God! Okay, this is going to get me so much fucking trouble. No, maximum overdrive.
You've got X. I mean, Ex Machina. We've talked about it. It's a bit. It's overly pretentious. It's not as good, but it's a better film than fucking Megalopolis.
No. Because
Megalopolis is a better film than Ex Machina.
Okay, first of all, I am entertained by the sheer chaos of Megalopolis. Right, the thing is with Ex Machina is that
bread and circuses.
But it's like Ex Machina is like the opposite of that. It's such a predictable, basic, says nothing.
Yeah, very, very po-faced. They're both self-serious in different ways.
Yeah,
but I'd rather watch Ex Machina than fucking Megalopolis.
No, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. If you made me watch one of them again.
I
think four is a...
Has Rosie watched Megalopolis?
Yes.
Did she watch it when you rewatched it?
We rewatched it.
I assume everybody's reaction is going to be essentially the same.
She spotted that Adam Driver was the self insert character pretty sharpish. It's sort of like in the ballpark of all of our sort of reactions, really.
Yeah.
Because I think we're seeing the same movie to a degree. I think we just didn't...
Well, you can't interpret it. Saying, everybody's reacting exactly the same because there's nothing to interpret. So it's kind of the perfect movie in the sense that it is an objective experience.
Is it? Or is it the opposite?
You're bringing virtually no subjectivity to it because it doesn't mean... It's like a blank wall is a blank wall to everybody.
It's more of like a six-year-old's drawing.
No, because that's interpretable.
But that's what I'm...
You might want to put it in your fridge.
No, okay, all right. Interpretable, okay, all right. Yeah, there's nothing to interpret. I don't know what I'm trying to get at. I honestly, like... There's an opinion in there somewhere that's just...
the people working within capitalism thing that was relevant to this, and I couldn't quite articulate it.
It's like a bad smell.
it's like an interesting smell.
Inherently interesting. The fact that it exists is interesting. So it's like a mystery bad smell.
Mystery bad smell.
So everybody experiences it the same.
But you might be a little. But okay, it's like when you walk past someone's house, right, and you smell what they're cooking, and you think, "Oh, this could be a nice spaghetti bolognese," or they could be. Charring a corpse of a human body. Can you tell the difference?
You have like very pork. Strange things.
But the thing is, have you ever done that? No, it's a mystery smell. You walk past someone's house, they're smelling dinner, you don't know if that's fucking awful.
Pleasant. You're saying that smells pleasant.
It could smell nice.
It could smell nasty. You haven't worked it out yet.
No. If a human body being roasted smells nice, it smells nice.
Still smells nice, yeah.
No. Sometimes, right, this will happen several times a day for me, right? A woman will get on, usually a woman, sometimes a man, will get on a bus and you will get a waft of the scent that she's wearing, like, after she's sat down at the back, right? Like, you know.
Yeah.
And so I've developed a little bit of a in-brain tier list of smells, which I can't put on.
Again, they're perfumes which are designed, I mean, subjectively you can have different experiences, which is the point, but they're designed to be appealing.
Have I told you about this like hookup I had who had a, like she had a perfume, a scent that she always wore. Uh-huh. And It was bready and yeasty. Spelt bready and yeasty. Right?
Oh my god!
No, she's covering something up with the scent.
And I asked her about it casually, right? Like you can't yeah. tell any like a woman.
Right. People say, "Oh, what's that scent you're reading?"
Yeah, that's what I said.
It's bread by Chanel.
And she told me that it was her dead grandmother's scent, and she wears it to like honor her.
I presume you mean the scent she wore rather than the scent of her grandmother.
Well, I assumed that too.
Bit to her dead grandmother.
I assumed that too. Not sure for real.
Getting worse over time.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I don't think I can't think... beat that. I was going to tell you a little anecdote, but I can't beat that. Dead grandmother scent. That's excellent.
I know. I couldn't make it up because I remember thinking in my head, it's going to be
it smells of fucking yeast.
It was yeasty.
I know.
It was absolutely horrible.
Well, my little story was going to be talking about scent that I went somewhere. I'm not going to say it because you never know who sees these things. somebody local. So I went somewhere local and somebody had put like a scent or deodorant or something on, and it really caught my throat and my nose because of the not because of the general scent of it, but because of the chemicaliness of it,
the freshness of it,
when people vape and it's like all you can smell is fucking chemicals and they say, oh, this one smells like tastes like this, and it's just horrible artificial chemicals. And I think I kind of reacted in front of this young lady a bit without realising that's what the smell was. Because I thought at first it was somebody vaping and it had just drifted in the door.
What is that awful fucking smell? Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, not quite, but close.
Right, this is... Okay.
But no, it's not perfume. It's a fart in a lift.
I mean, I'm not going to convince you.
For goodness sake.
Well, my whole point was it's something that everybody reacts to the same.
Yeah.
And anything pleasant can have a subjective, you know. And I mean, even a blank wall, there's some subjectivity, but broadly, that's an objective experience. And in these troubled and polarized times, that's a very valuable thing that he's done.
Okay, one second. I'm just doing the final touches. Oh, this is a fucking disaster of a thumbnail.
I go back to haranguing you about what has the same rating as Megalopolis.
Oh, we've gone through them all.
Yeah, some of them are okay. But Total Recall, that's not right.
Maybe not.
Even
I love how Chris is like bullied by Drew so often.
Even Twilight, I think, is slightly above Megalopolis. At least it has a story, sort of.
Maybe. Okay, right. I think that's the thumbnail. All right, should we do a live reaction?
Yeah.
All right, since we made it this far, where do I save them?
I hope the thumbnail is as confusing as the film.
Oh, it absolutely is. Okay.
It's a blank yellow wall.
It's just a smell.
Everybody has to send away for a vial of it
to get I almost did it. I typed in the file name and then pressed escape thinking it was fucking Vim. That's what you've done to me.
Yeah.
Hang on, where we go. Da-da-da. Okay, Megalopolis. Okay.
It's certainly made life easier since we've been able to have multiple administrators on a channel, isn't it? Or PeerTube.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
There was another little update to it, but I don't know if it was just fixes or something. I didn't see any.
I think there are some relatively important security fixes on it. Where are you?
It's up there. I keep them all up to date anyway. So.
Ah, good. Space Virgins.
You get an email if you've registered.
Okay, here we go.
you spelled mayor wrong, mayor, but mayor. I kind of like it. Because it's the mayor from
Metro Goldwyn.
Isn't that M-A-Y-A-R? No, maybe it is E-R. I can't remember now. MGM. Look up MGM.
Oh, it is Mayers. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. God.
It is M-A-Y-E-R, you're right, yeah.
O-R. Fuck it, I'm doing...
Should be an O if it's Mr. Mayer, yeah.
It's Mr. Mayer, yeah.
Not Mr. Mayer. But... I'm going to say I don't get the sheep bit.
Because it looks like...
I think that one would be better without the text because of the nature yeah. of that fucking... Like, that just... It doesn't... That rare... Like, usually you need the text to make it weird. Okay, that's weirder yeah. without the text.
All right.
Yeah, let's... I think you might be right. I think you might be right there.
I like the exclamation marks.
Inexplicable. Yeah, exclamation marks, yeah. Also like that they're offset from the headlight that everybody's sharing
yeah,
them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's composite. That is.
All right, what about... Okay.
Everybody's going to be confused. They're like, wait a minute, haven't I seen this right at the start before I started watching?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah. Yep. Why does the sheep look so sad as well? I guess it knows the film, is it?
Yeah, it's a sheep that can stop time.
I think there's some woolly thinking going on there.
Oh!
Didn't even register that the sheep was put in by you.
Hang on a minute, what?
I know, obvious now, but yeah, I was just like, yeah, that was.
That's why I was saying, what was the bit with the sheep?
There might have been. There was so much nonsense in there. There could well have been a sheep in there.
Yeah, there probably was at some point. Let's be honest.
If you described a scene that was in that film and I don't remember it, I just believe you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's like, I forgot something and you said something, and it wasn't until you gave me a wee bit more chewing that yeah. I went, oh, yeah, that bit, right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, I'd forgot, yeah, the incest scene or whatever.
The anti thing.
Yeah. It was a good scene. Like, see, that's the thing. There were scenes in this.
That was a good scene.
I can't say that about Spaceballs.
It actually had a bit of story and purpose as well. It fitted into what was going on.
Yeah, yeah. Had some feeling to it. And I caught that. You can't say that about Spaceballs. We're starting on Ozone already.
Sorry.
You fucking idiot, Ozone.
Oh, I feel so bad. See, I want to give Spaceballs a 2 just because I like Ozone, but like...
Well, I watched the film. I mean, I've not seen it. I watched it again about a year ago, I think, because Ozone goes on about it.
Not seen it. I've probably not seen it for decades. I watched Men in Tights and Blazing Saddles fairly recently.
I'll give Blazing Saddles. That's an okay. That's a solid.
Oh, no, that's great. Blazing Saddles is great.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
Could actually just use this as the thumbnail.
Well, no. I think that works as a thumbnail. What are you going to put on?
Yeah, I mean, that looks like something you would have made. Or
you know, yeah, more. Knocked up in your shed. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
it. I'm seeing my own art.
That's why you're rating it higher, yeah.
But he's serious about it.
Yeah. There is a still that I was also considering.
Have you seen that picture of... I'm sorry, if I'm not going to stop the video, I'm just going to keep talking anyway. But yeah, have you seen the picture of Adam Driver when he was in the Marines?
No.
A little skinny guy with ears.
Oh. He was in the Marines.
Yeah, he joined after 9/11, you know, because, well, he was young and impressionable. Mm. I'm not sure he would have now.
Oh, I'm trying to find the shot.
If you look up Adam Driver, I'm sure it's on Wikipedia, there's a picture of him... Yeah, there's a picture of, not in his main picture, because that's obviously they use a recent picture, but yeah. Just below the little box of stuff, there's a picture of him when he was in the Marines.
He is mostly.
With dress uniform on. It's just basically this big nose, big lips, and big ears. He just looks like somebody's, Mr. Potato Head was a phrase that came into my head. It's like, no, there's no face there, it's just all features that have been stuck on. But he grew into himself, he's quite a handsome man, really. Yeah. You know,
he's handsome, but in a way where he actually looks interesting. Like he's interesting.
Yeah, he's interesting and real.
Yeah. I mean, speaking about Adam Driver, have you seen Ghost Story or A Ghost Story? I think it's called.
No.
He's very, very, very well. It's a very, very, very good film that he's. I think I remember. It's very good. It's the one where, spoilers, but he's basically a ghost. Oh, no, he's not in that. Sorry, I was thinking it's a different film that he's in that's very good. Ghost Story's very good, though.
Well, now that you've spoiled it, I'm not going to watch it. What's the other film you're thinking of with him in it then? Because I might have seen it.
Oh, it's him and...
Sorry, I've just remembered Dead Don't Die, which was funny. Did you guys hate that?
yeah, of course.
I haven't seen that.
It's him and Scarlett Johansson.
Zombie film, yeah. Oh, the like a married couple or something?
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen it, but another one you mean now. That's annoying.
I get that mixed up with Ghost Story because they're both sort of about... So Ghost Story is a dad of this family has died, like young, and the family is going on with their life, and he's a ghost, but he's a ghost. He's literally just him with a sheet over his head with the eyes cut out.
All right.
And he's just... But it's not funny. And he's just sort of standing there watching their life go on at various points and stuff. It's really cool.
I'm trying to find the still I had... For another one.
So sorry, Drew, did you say you didn't like The Dead Don't Die then?
So I thought you were referring to a line they said in the... I remember there was some stupid line they said in Megalopolis or something like that. Is this a film?
No. There's a film called The Dead Don't Die. It's Adam Driver. Bill Murray's in it. He's not...
I don't like Bill Murray, no.
Well, in recent things he has been a bit crap, but he's all right in it. Tilda Swinton, Chloe Savini, Steve Buscemi.
I've looked at that, but not watched it. Yeah. It looks potentially interesting.
Yeah, it's actually all right. It's played like completely flat, and that is what makes it work.
It is the
your favourites in it. Isn't Rosie Perez one of your favourites?
I very much enjoy her in White Men Can't Jump. I don't really attach to actors. I like characters. I don't really associate the characters with the actors that much.
Well, some people are better at that than others, so, you know. But yeah, The Dead Don't Die, I quite enjoyed it.
It looks interesting.
It's played just completely flat, so it just sort of works in a weird way.
I've got... I don't think I'll use this one. But I do feel like it.
Not to be harping on about it, but aren't we just boring people to death with us?
Oh yeah, they've long since departed.
They've given up. They've given up. Yeah.
If you're still watching,
if you make it all the way to the end, well, let's see. The thing is, I don't know when the end's going to come because I'm not in control of the button, so I can't say something for people to put in the chat.
Hey, Chris.
Ta-da!